You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona. We've got John Eisenhower shimmying down out of the tree. We're talking trees today as it is the second Saturday of the month. It is the 8 o'clock hour. This is our outdoor living hour where we talk trees. If you want to join the conversation, visit with ISA certified arborist John Eisenhower about anything that's stumping you with your tree problem. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can send emails if you need to snap a picture and pass it along for plant or insect identification help. You can do that to info@rosieonthehouse.com. You can also text questions to 411-923. The text is during the broadcast only. Phone and email we answer during the week, but that text is here local to our headquarters flagship radio station and is good during the broadcast only. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. And you've brought us the Malus domestica today as our featured tree of the month.
Yeah, it sounds really sophisticated, doesn't it?
It does.
That's an apple. That's a domestic apple. Yeah, generally they'll refer to those apples as Malus, and then they add the variety after that. In this case,
so who do you think named it the Malus? Was that Adam or Eve?
That'd be the genus, yeah. That would be God. Yeah, the apples that do well in the low desert, primarily, are the Annas and the Dorsets. There's two varieties that are really suited for the low desert. Now, if you live at the higher elevations across the state of Arizona, you're going to have a lot broader variety because those other apples that have higher chill hour requirements are going to be able to survive in your climate.
Now, I've read a lot of different things on chill hours. Some say under 40, some say under 32, some say continuous, some say non-continuous. Just define a chill hour.
Well, it's between 32 and 45 degrees. So you need to have a certain number of hours between that spread. It's not at freeze. Below 32 would be freezing. And it's just chill hours. It's cool hours between 32 and 45 degrees.
So if it gets below 32, is that not considered a chill hour then?
Yeah, no, it just doesn't require it to be that cold. Here in Arizona, in the low desert, we have about 300 to 400 chill hours a year. So you have to have a tree variety that has low enough chill hour requirements. Because if it has a chill hour requirements of 500 or 600, we don't get that many hours. So you might have a tree that will survive, but it won't bear fruit. So you want to be sure if you want it. To have a successful apple tree in the low desert communities of Tucson or Phoenix or any other communities in that elevation, look for the Anna or the Dorset. They are very adaptable to this area, and they're very fruitful.
And what we do with our Annas, because I like a pink lady apple, mm-hmm. or a delicious red, which we obviously those chill hours are way beyond our mm-hmm. desert.
Your reach, yeah.
But the horses love the Anna apples. When we're thinning our apples, sure. We'll take a bucket, fill it up, and then sprinkle them on because you've got to thin your apples to get a good size one.
You do.
And then when we do get our big Anna apples, they are they're decent to eat. They're not like a delicious red or pink lady, but I tell you what, they are great baking apples.
Yeah, they are. They're good for eating. They're a little crisp, a little bit tart sometimes, which is nice.
A little tart.
Yeah, well, you just got to let them stay on the tree a little bit longer. They'll sweeten up the longer you can keep them on the tree. And as far as the thinning is required, it's not just for the sizing of the fruit to improve the size. It's also to prevent breakage. If you do no thinning at all, those branches will get so heavy you'll definitely get branches busting off under the weight. Ideal spacing is about 4 inches between pieces of fruit.
So at the end of a limb where you'll get a cluster of, you know, anywhere from 3 to 6 or 7, I think mm-hmm. I even counted 8 one time,
yeah.
You take that all the way down to 1.
Yeah. Yeah. In that location, you could probably put 2 on there and it's not going to hurt. If you have a very small tree and it's pretty sparse and you might want to leave those little clusters of 2 because, you know, otherwise you're going to have a very small crop. But yeah, it can usually sustain a couple of fruits at that one location. But ideally, if you can get a 4-inch spread between your fruits, that's a good spacing. And if you can do the thinning early on, too, when the fruit is very, very small, don't wait till the fruit is real big, because you can sometimes damage that point of attachment by thinning out fruit with these heavy clusters of four or five fruits. They're all mashed together, and you're trying to break them apart to get them thinned out. It's easier to do that when they're smaller, and you can pluck them off when they're golf ball size or smaller.
And you had mentioned the golden door set. I think that one's a little bit more enjoyable to eat raw off a tree.
Yeah, they're also they also have lower chill hour requirements. Some of these two are self they're all self pollinating, but some help other trees pollinate. So if you can get a couple of different varieties in your yard, you might enjoy that variety and also get better pollination. So a better harvest just by a better pollination spread. Another tree that does really well that we purchased from Greg Peterson was the Einschimmer, which is another low chill hour requirement.
Sounds German.
It is, does very much so. It's EIN and capital SHEMER. And they're really well adapted to low low chill hour requirements and really adapted to our hot climate. All these trees enjoy full sun, so keep them, you know, exposed to the sun. And, you know, we actually overplanted our yard. I've told this story on air a couple of times. Greg was selling trees, and I bought 19, planted them all over our yard. We only have probably about 13 now for various reasons, just thinning the trees themselves out because we are kind of overwhelmed. But we created a small little grove, and as a result of that, we have a lot of fruit. In fact, we just got our first apricot yesterday. We saw it on the ground. There it was. Most of the fruits are still green and they're still sizing, but it's nice to know that we're at the beginning of the harvest, and many of you are starting to see your peaches starting to size and your apples, and it's exciting. But what do you do when you have 13 fruit trees? Well, we invested in a dehydrator. We had the little plastic dome ones, you know, with the little plastic trays that stack on top of each other. We've had those for years, and they're nice for the occasional dehydration. But if you have a sizable amount of fruit, you might want to invest in a little bit better quality dehydrator. We looked on online, found one on Craigslist, and bought a really nice stainless steel one with 10 racks. And they probably cost $300 or $400. I spent like $150 used, and it is amazing. We've used it for three or four seasons now. It is just allowing us to capture that harvest, because we can't eat all that food. We can't give all that fruit away sometimes. And sometimes the harvest is so fast and furious, with fruit ripening every day and falling on the ground, you can hardly keep ahead of it. But with a dehydrator, you can take that fruit, process it, dry it, and then we just dry this lot of fruit, fill up, you know, gallon Ziploc bags, throw it in the freezer, and we've got dehydrated fruit for essentially the entire year. We're still eating our dehydrated fruit from last year. In fact, I just finished off our last bit of mangoes. Speaking of mangoes, they don't grow real well here. Although there are many people who do grow some tropical fruits like mangoes and papayas and others, guavas and loquats. But we usually buy ours at the farmer's market, like Market on the Move, which is going on every Saturday morning from 7 to 10. But when they have a lot of good fruit that we can purchase at these farmers markets or other places where you see their close out clearance fruits at your grocery store, bring them on home. Buy them for 5 cents on the dollar. Bring home 20, 30, 40 pounds and process them. Put them in your dehydrator, and you've got dried fruit for the rest of the year. It's amazing. Just a little tip. I want to mention fig trees. One word comment about fig trees before we leave this wonderful subject of fruit.
It's not apparel related.
No.
Okay.
Fig trees are amazing. I just got a jar of fig jam from one of my customers, and they're one of those fruit trees in Arizona that grow beautifully here, and they grow so easily. I have one of my customers who planted a few. He had a few little sprouts that came up. He said, "Can I just plant these sprouts?" And I said, "Yeah, you can take those little cuttings at the base of your tree." And so he started putting them around his yard. And now he's got four or five really beautiful fig trees that are now 8 and 10 feet tall. This is just a couple years ago. These trees are prolific growers, and they also produce a lot of fruit. If you like a good white or black fig, you know, just get a fig tree in the ground, and you'll be amazed how quickly they'll be bearing fruit. And they're just coming on right now, should be ready to harvest within the next month or so.
You know what I have a hard time with mine is the amount of shoots that come up. Is that abnormal, or is that just because it's a younger tree? And it seems like the younger ones have a lot more shoots than old trees in general.
They're like a big shrub. They send up a lot of sprouts. In fact, my tree is so old, it's probably 40, 50 years old. It's starting to, some of the older growth is starting to fall apart because the tree's so big and heavy. So I'm letting all the younger growth come up because one day that will become the new crown. And so, yeah, let those sprouts come up. They're just photosynthesizing, creating sugars and starches for the overall health of the plant. So if you can keep them on, they'll also shade the base of the tree from too much sun.
Yeah. Now, they're not the cleanest of plant to harvest. My Uncle Bob actually has a fig harvesting outfit that he wears just for that because it is so sticky.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you end up tromping over a lot of fruit that no doubt falls, and yeah, it's kind of messy. And also
that adds to the fun, I think.
The leaves from fig trees they have a little hairs, very small little hairs on the leaves too, and you can have allergic reaction to those if you're not careful. And they produce a little milk from the leaves as well.
Mike's on the line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Mike, how can we help you today?
Good morning. I live in the area of 32nd and Camelback, and for years we had a beautiful tree. It was a tangelo tree in our front yard, and I think we pruned it the wrong time of the year, and it died. And so we're wanting to replace it. It's a grass area. I don't have a direct drip available, but given it's grass, we water it about 3 times a week. Our landscaper is recommending a couple trees, and I don't know if they're the right ones or not. So I'm asking you guys your recommendation. One's a fruitless olive, and the other is a jacaranda. I don't know.
All right, we'll take the break to think about that. A fruitless olive, jacaranda, or our own recommendations for Mike's replacement tree at 32nd Camelback here at Rosie on the House.